Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to John, the 15th chapter. John 15. Our young people can be dismissed to their classes. While you're turning there, let me mention something to you that I think some of you have probably seen. Richard made an announcement about seeing Mandy about some new laws that are affecting parents, especially in dealing with their kids. But the thing I'd like to also call your attention to is that the New York Senate, over the past couple of weeks, has been considering a bill which would allow parents to abort a child up to the time of birth. I haven't seen some of the other stuff that's been out there. I've been told that there's also a bill to make that possible even after the child is born. I don't know about that, but I have read the Senate bill. And that means that 1 hour before a baby was born, while the mother is in labor, the baby can be aborted. And so as Richard pointed out in the announcements this morning, there are some major things going on in our country right now. I think maybe we need to have a lesson on this sometime, but I think it's important to understand that there's absolutely no defense for suggesting that a child is not a human until they draw breath. That is the view of some religions. And the religion that is dominant in New York is the one promoting this. But we as Christians need to stand on our principles that life is sacred. And a baby is conscious of what's going on in the world. If you've read some of the stories about people that have participated in abortions, about babies resisting the attempts to kill them, I mean, it's a rough time. Last time that any culture had anything even close to this was when the Romans were throwing babies out in the streets that weren't wanted by their parents. So there's some important things for us to know as Christians. Whatever your politics are, to be aware that when you write and when you talk to your politicians, you need to know what some of the things are that are being pushed, and be aware of the fact that it's a tough time. Christians are going to face increasing persecution if they hold on to the principles that the Bible teaches. And that sort of leads us into our discussion this morning, because this is a sermon on the vine and the branches. You said, oh, I've already heard a bunch of sermons on the vine and the branches. Well, I'm going to hear one more. And I think it's important to understand that sometimes this has been watered down, and it's a very important topic. It's something each one of us need to consider and understand. It has to do with life. It has to do with eternity. It has to do with understanding why this body exists in this building. You know, it's important to understand that there are so many analogies in the Bible that sometimes we have to look at the analogy that is being given, because sometimes they're complex, but this one is duck soup simple. Because what we're talking about is something that every one of you has done, or at least had a part of. And that is gardens, plants, food. In the case of the vine and the branches, maybe you haven't had a lot of experience with grapes, but you've had experience, if you live in Michigan, with apples, probably grapes, surely tomatoes, and any of those could be used. We all know that there is a gardener, a vine dresser, a husbandman, if you want to use some of the ancient terms, the one who did the planting, the one who created the vine or the plant, the one who feeds it, who prunes it, who works the ground. And we're told in the Bible that God has done this. He created us. He provides for us. Acts 17 and verse 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." The concept of God that the Bible projects is that God is the creator who continuously has an interest in us, as does any gardener. We also know by reading this verse that we're starting with in John 15, that Jesus says loud and clear in verse 1, I am the true vine, and our Father is the gardener. The true vine. What does that mean? Well, that means there's many other kinds of vines. Not all vines are the same. When Moak came to us a year ago from Thailand, she brought some seeds from Thailand. One of the seeds was a squash. And I thought, well, squash is a squash, it's a squash. Oh, no. That squash, first of all, it germinated in about 2 days. And then it started growing. It climbed over across the garden. It got on my fence. It went up the trellis. It went over the other side. It was like Cusco. Some of you who know what Cusco is. It was crazy. So not all vines are the same. That particular vine didn't produce any squash. It flowered, but it never produced. And she was blaming it on Michigan soil, but I think it had more to do with climate. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a lot of other vines out there. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 16, Jesus says, by the fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit ye shall know them. See, we've got a lot of vines out there. Islam is a vine. Communism is a vine. Buddhism is a vine. Baha'u'llah and his teachings is a vine. Karl Marx is a vine. Lenin is a vine. Darwin is a vine. The question is, what vine do you follow? What vine are you a part of? We'll come back to that in just a minute. Maybe basically, there are two branches that are involved. You notice that in the discussion in John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Okay, what are those branches? Well, let me tell you something. It is not religious denominations. I've heard Church of Christ preachers say that, but the church didn't exist at the time that Jesus said that. So that's not what he's talking about. It's not Catholicism. That doesn't work for the same reason. Other systems fail the fruit test. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And then he goes through in Matthew and talks about that good fruit comes from a good vine. What has been the product of following the teachings of Marx? What has resulted from the teachings of Muhammad, of Baha'u'llah, of Lenin, of Darwin? What works? You know, you can have a philosophy or a religion or a belief system that sounds real good. But if it doesn't produce good fruit, if it doesn't make your life better, if it doesn't provide you with a greater degree of happiness, you need to cut it down and go to a vine that does produce those things. Branches are part of the vine that produce fruit. And the fruit, in the case of Christians, is how we are changed. Listen to Romans 6, starting with verse 19. Just as you used to offer parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to everlasting wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Remember being a teenager? I remember being a teenager, and that was a long time ago. But those forces that tried to make me behave, the forces of righteousness, I found ways to reject. And I see a couple of heads going, yep, I did that too. Let me ask you the question that is asked here in Romans 6. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you're now ashamed of? What benefit did you reap when you got drunk? What benefit did you reap from smoking pot? What benefit did you reap by being dishonest, by lying to your parents or to your teachers or whatever? You know, it's kind of funny. Some of us live fast. Right, Larry? Larry and I have a lot of common ground. We both live fast and early, and we both reap the consequences of it. And it's last your whole life. There are things that I have done in the past that I know God has forgiven me of, but I'm having a hard time forgiving myself of. There are consequences, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that relate to those things that I participated in when I was living fast. Isn't it amazing how the Bible writers know how to reach us, know how to find us, know how to identify us? And sometimes it takes a while for us to understand it. Some of us never understand it. The very next statement in this passage says, these things resulted in death. That's kind of sobering, isn't it? How many people do you know that have died because of the things they participated in youth? These things result in death. But then comes the positive part of Romans. But now you have been set free from the sin and have become slaves to God. The benefits you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't have to be afraid of dying. You have to be afraid of whatever it is that afflicts you, that is a result of our behavior in earlier years. Now, God doesn't take away the consequences of what we have done in the past. The person who smoked for 50 years is still going to have problems. But they have a new life they can live. They can have a measure of happiness and joy and stability. I pick on Larry a lot because he's such a good example. But this morning he said to me, you know, I've had a little problem the last couple of weeks. I said, well, uh-oh, what's that, Larry? He said, I've been so happy I can't stand it. Hey, man, that's the kind of problem we want to have, isn't it? As part of what Romans is saying here. I mean, how can he be happy? Because he's just won a battle with cancer, that's why. Because he's just had a wife who supported him in such a steadfast way that he leaned on her through all the treatments, and he went through some rough treatments. See, we have something that stands behind us as Christians. And that's because we are a branch of the vine. You know, one of the fruits of our life is how we use our time. In James, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 13, the writer says, now listen, those of you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Well, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Isn't that true? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The challenge for me is, what will I do with the time I have left? And I toss that question to you. What will you do with the time you have left? You don't have any idea how much time you have left. You probably got more time left than I do. But every minute we have, we need to be fruit bearers. And fruit is bringing to others the ability to know the Lord. Mark 16 and verse 15. We know the command. Go preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. Now, that's not just given to preachers. That's not given to the apostles. That's given to me. That's given to you. None of us here are trained in preachers, including myself. But I can read what God says, and I can act on it. And so can you. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look at what the first century church did. When you read Acts 2, starting with verse 41. See, what they did was they produced fruit. That's what the vine and the branches is all about. It's not standing out in the street corner and screaming something about obedience to God. That can be done if you have that talent and that ability. But what did they do in Acts 2 in the first century when they had become Christians? Read verse 41 on. They met together. They ate their meals together. They encouraged and strengthened each other. Why do we have a potluck today? What's the purpose of the potluck? They say, well, we like to eat. We got good cooks in the congregation. Yeah, that's a fringe benefit. That's a fringe benefit. Elena brought so much stuff today, it took three people to carry it all in. Fringe benefit. The primary reason for us to get together is to be strengthened and encouraged and support one another. Talk about what you're facing, what your challenge is. Talk about some of the things happening in our country. And we're not talking about political discussions here. We're talking about ways of meeting the needs of people. And it goes on and it says, they address needs to such an extent that some of the people sold what they have to meet the needs of people that were without. So we have a mission. Find out what the needs are of people among us. I've learned about a couple just in the last week or two. And then figure out how can we help them. That's what the fellowship is about. That's what the potluck is about. Encourage one another to get involved in the work that we have going. And every day in the bulletin, every time you get a bulletin, there's new stuff coming out. There's new things to do. Because that's what we as a congregation do. That's copying what the first century church did. That's part of bearing fruit. So stay for lunch, okay? And join in the conversation. And find out about the things that you can be a part of. There's some great, great things happening. The church is a vehicle to do all these things. And you know what's interesting about this is, we talked about the branches that bear fruit. That's what I hope we can all be. But there's also in these same passages a discussion about what happens if we're unfruitful branches. Just claiming to be a Christian doesn't cut it. You know, some of us can talk a really good fight, but that's virtually worthless, isn't it? Anybody can talk a good fight, but doing is something else. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to the Lord, to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? You mean people who are prophesying in his name could be lost? Yeah, if they're not prophesying what Jesus gave us in his word to say. There's lots of religious con artists out there. And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? You know, a good part of my apologetics work is tracking down fakes. I've attended a number of exorcisms. And I know what was going on. I've investigated miracles. And most of the ones that I have investigated have turned out to be fraudulent miracles. So Jesus says, you know, there are people out there making all kinds of religious claims. What he wants to know is what are we actually doing, not just what are we saying. And not those things we might do that are self-serving, either because we need our ego boosted or because we're doing it for financial gain. I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. Boy, would that be a scary thing to hear from Jesus Christ. Evildoers. You know, right after that discussion, he talks about false prophets bearing fruit, talking about claiming to speak for Jesus. And then in Matthew 25, verse 31, he pictures the judgment scene. Those that are cast away and those that are brought in. And what's the criteria? Oh, you preached a bunch of great sermons. Enter the kingdom of heaven. Is that it? That's not it, is it? I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty. You gave me to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. Those aren't things that people just talk. Those are things people do. That isn't something that we do just as a maybe we'll do it. It's a regular part of our activity. Bill and Patty, and I've got this in the bulletin, but you and Pat, Bill and Patty and Richard and Carl went on a new program with the food bank. They take a truck. They drive into an area where there's a lot of poverty and people who don't have food. And they deliver food. They delivered 5,200 pounds of food. Do you believe that? That's doing. And the Lord just opened that door. We're talking about doing that here, maybe next year. We'll have to get about 20 people that don't mind riding around in a truck in cold weather and pass out food. Bill says, no, we're going to go in July. But and that may not be our option. That may not be our option. But why do we do that kind of thing? We're talking about the fun fair again this year. We're talking about doing a puppet thing with the body parts that we can teach people. Why are we doing that? Because we know that's what the work of the church is, to do something, to be involved, to get into the community. People who don't believe in God won't do that. You don't see any atheists running a food kitchen or providing a place for people that are homeless. People say, well, I just don't want to be involved in church. Well, that says a lot about you. It says a lot about you. You don't want to serve. Your selfish gene is kicking in. So Matthew 25 talks in depth about that. Congregations not bearing fruit, this passage says, wither. They will die. Doing has to be real. You aren't using your new, if you're not using your new life, you will wither. Read the passages. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. What? Attend three times a week? That's not what it says, folks. Be involved in a preaching sermons or teaching class. That's not what it says. Visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction and keep ones unspotted from the world. See, showy religions will not lead to heaven. He said, why don't you guys have a rock and roll band up here and bring more people in? Yeah, we could fill this building. We could put on a show. But that's not what the passage says Jesus is looking for. Jesus is saying, you know, I was in jail and you didn't come to visit me. I needed food and you didn't feed me. You didn't help the widows. You didn't help the orphans. And see, what we have here is vehicles like our food bank, vehicles like our van, vehicles that enable us to provide opportunities to get involved. And you need to be involved. That's how you're a branch that bears fruit. And just showing up every so often is not going to guarantee you heaven. So my question comes down as we close this morning. Are you a branch? Yeah, you are. You're a branch. The question is not whether you're a branch. The question is, are you a branch of what? Are you a branch of the Democratic Party? Are you a branch of the Republican Party? Are you a branch of John Deere? Budweiser? Whirlpool? How about the union? Are you a branch of the AFL-CIO? Are you a branch of Masons or Lions? Optimists? Are you a branch of the television set? Of the entertainment industry? the NFL, NBA, March Madness. Now, let me emphasize something here. Those are all good things. They do good works. I'm not saying you can't be a part of those, but I'm saying that can't be the sum and substance of your life. And so if you enjoy the NBA and you want to watch the March Madness that's taking place now, wonderful. But before you immerse yourself in that and put your resources in that, look around at the opportunities to serve people in the name of Christ. And don't be a branch of Joseph Smith or Pope Francis or Billy Graham, Tim LaHaye, or John Hagee, or Hal Lindsey, or John Clayton, or Bill Gibson, or Ira North. We're all just workers together, struggling to take advantage of the opportunities that God places before us. Now, we're starting this construction thing this month, try to get this place so it's a little safer, we can use it in more ways. Hopefully improve the facility, make us able to reach out more effectively in the community. And we will need some help with that. See, the Bible repeatedly said not to follow human preachers. So we see 1 Corinthians 1. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? That's 1 Corinthians 1:12. In all these cases, what is the fruit you bear? And Christ will help you bear fruit you never dreamed of. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, after he talked about the fact that he had learned to be hungry. He learned how to survive thirst. Now he had learned to be a survivor of lynchings and beatings and all the things that people tried to do to Paul. Paul said in verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So if you've said to yourself in the process of this sermon this morning, well, I just can't do anything. No. Don't make a liar out of God. God says, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if your total opportunity is in sitting in a pew, it ain't going to work. Or sitting in front of a television set. Or all those other things that I've been mentioning here this morning. You have to understand that God will strengthen you and enable you to do something. Just get out of God's way. Just get out of God's way. And I'm talking from personal experience. If anybody had told me 50 years ago that I would be involved in a ministry that is probably the longest in the Brotherhood of the Church of Christ, I know it is in apologetics, perhaps in any other area, and that I would be speaking and teaching and working with atheists and skeptics and trying to bring them to Christ, helping young people who have faith problems see the evidence and know there is God, if anybody had told me that 50 years ago, just as I had walked out of atheism, I would have said, you're out of your mind. There's absolutely no way that's going to happen. But I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. And so it isn't me that's done it, it's Christ who strengthens me. And it's Christ who will strengthen you. You know, there's an interesting statement in Romans 11, that some of you who are farmers or who have worked on farms will be able to understand. Paul, in writing that, says, if the root is holy, so are the branches. If we're a branch of Christ, we're holy. That's what it says. Some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in their place. You know what that means? You ever graft anything? You know, olive trees are particularly susceptible to grafting. And so are apple trees. I understand that olive trees are even more so than apple trees. An apple tree, if you cut a scar in a tree and if you put a branch on there and wrap it the right way, and if you know what you're doing, which I don't, you can have an apple tree that'll bear more than one kind of apple. You can buy those things. Did you know that? And with an olive tree, it's real easy. Because the olive tree grows in such a way that its sap will latch onto anything that gets near it. And I have grabbed a hold of an olive tree, and if you're not careful, your hands will stick to it, and you'll have a hard time pulling away without leaving skin. So what he says is, when a branch breaks off of an olive tree, when people reject God, when people turn against Christ, when people refuse to get involved in Christianity, they break off. And God can graft someone else in. You say, well, if I don't do it, who will do it? I don't know. Somebody will. None of us are that important. But the fact of the matter is that God grafts us in if we're willing to be grafted in. And so he says, a wild olive shoot. When an olive got in the ground, it would sprout. And rather than throw them away, they would pull them up, cut off the root system, and graft it into the tree. And so if you've seen pictures, and Richard can tell us about this, but when you've seen pictures of olive trees in all those areas, they've got branches growing every which way because they can continually graft into the olive tree. I don't know anything about that. I've never seen anything like that, but I understand from reading that in the Middle East, that's a major, well-understood phenomenon. But he goes on in this passage and says, a wild olive shoot had been grafted in their place. And you've been made to share the source of richness in the root. That's verse 20. It was for lack of faith that they were cut away, and you owe your position to faith. You ought not to feel pride, but stand in awe. If God did not spare the natural tree, neither will he spare you. You must try to appreciate both the kindness and justice of God. And so Romans 6, 4 and 5 says, we are buried with him in baptism, planted together. The branch. So back to John 15, this time reading the whole passage. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. You are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. God can work in your life in incredible ways. And I hope this congregation in the coming year will see all kinds of new graftings, all kinds of new trees, new ministries, new opportunities to serve. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a branch, if you're not grafted into Jesus, we would encourage you to be a part of Christ. Be a part of his kingdom. Be a part of his service. Be a branch of the vine, Jesus. If you're subject to his invitation, won't you come? As together we stand and sing to encourage you. Please come.